he's seeing his kinsmen being persecuted by the Midianites. He sees this devastation happening. He realizes that Israel, the first R, that they rebelled, and now they were dealing with the second R, which is retribution. And he sees this retribution taking place. All type of turmoil going on. And so Gideon constructs an altar. And in verse 24, it says, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Yahweh Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezerites. Gideon builds an altar and he calls it Yahweh Shalom. That in the midst of troubling times, he had come face to face with the God of peace.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us for the first half of Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is peace. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is peace.
Good morning, Bethany family. We are continuing with the names of God. And this morning we come to a very interesting name, and the name is Yahweh Shalom. And that word Shalom is one I know that you've probably heard on many occasions before. But we find the passage reference in the book of Judges, Judges chapter 6 and verse 24. And it says, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord, and he called it Yahweh Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezerites. And so we are talking today about Yahweh Shalom, the Lord's peace, or the Lord is peace. I remember before I came to Christ and accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, every night before I went to bed, I would pray a prayer. And it's a prayer that I'm sure a lot of kids have been taught to pray. But it would say, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And then we would say, bless mommy and daddy and grandma, grandpa, uncles and aunties. And I would pray that prayer just about, I believe, every night. And yet and still, there was something that was unsettled in my heart. There was still an uneasiness in my spirit. There was still unrest in my heart. And then when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that uneasiness, that unrest actually went away. And so even though I was praying that prayer during the time that I didn't know the Lord, and I believed I was, you know, doing something that I was supposed to do, and yet and still there was not that settledness, there was not that calmness in my spirit. But praise God, like I said, when I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, it seems like there was a peace that came over me. And I've often, you know, wondered why that was. And the message today actually answers that question. Because as we look at the message today, Yahweh Shalom, that wherever God is, there's peace. Wherever the presence of the Lord is, there's peace. You know, people are looking for peace all over the world today. You know, when we think about our country and we see the unrest, the racial tension that's in our country today, you know, people are looking for answers. People are looking for some solutions. When we think about this virus that is worldwide, it has caused an unsettledness in the hearts and lives of people. But yet and still, when we think about the fact that God is peace, and that wherever he is, there's peace. So that leaves us scratching our head, and that leaves us asking the question, is God in these situations? If there is unrest, if there is anger, if there is violence, if there are breaking and looting and all that stuff, you have to ask the question, is God present in that? Because if he was, they wouldn't be doing that. And so we see that there is a peace that comes along with the presence of God. Oh, I love the song that says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. That's the kind of peace that God brings. He brings that soul comforting peace to let us know it is well. It is well that everything is going to be all right. As we consider our passage today, it comes from the book of Judges. And as we look at the theme of the book of Judges, the theme of the book of Judges is cycles. No, I'm not talking about motorcycles, right? I'm not talking about tricycles. But, you know, cycles in the sense of something that is repeated over and over again. So when we look at the book of Judges, I'm going to use these four R's. There was, on the part of Israel, rebellion, retribution, repentance, and restoration. And if you read the whole book of Judges, you will see that happening throughout the whole book, that Israel rebelled, then God sent judgment, then they repented, and then God restored them. During the retribution stage, I have a map there on the PowerPoint slide, and you can see on the map the different nations that were surrounding Israel at this time. We see there was the Philistines, there were the Amalekites, there were the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Edomites, and the Electric Lights. No, I'm just kidding. But then at the bottom of the slide, you see Midian, or the Midianites. And so during these times of retribution, God would allow these nations that surrounded Israel to come and bring judgment on them. In this particular chapter, we see that the nation of Israel actually was dealing with the Midianites. And so the Midianites had come, and they were actually a brutal people. You know, it says here in verse 6 of Judges chapter 6, and the Israelites greatly impoverished, was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that he sent a prophet. And this prophet came, and the prophet told them how God had taken them through the wilderness out of Egypt, and how he had brought them into the promised land. And on the heels of God sending this prophet, he sends the angel of the Lord to come and speak to a man by the name of Gideon. Now, who is Gideon? Gideon, his name actually means cutter, or cutter of trees. Now, Gideon was also given another name. He was also called Jerubbaal, and that meant one who contended with Baal. Now, why did he get this name? Because if we go on to read later on in this chapter, that he actually was responsible for destroying one of the altars of Baal. And so they gave him another name, and the name basically was Baal Destroyer, or contender with Baal. He was from the clan of Abiezer, from the tribe of Manasseh. He was also the fifth recorded judge in the nation of Israel. So that's who this guy named Gideon was. We see that the angel of the Lord appears unto Gideon. The Israelites, again, were being persecuted by the Midianites. And the Israelites cried out to God for deliverance. Now, again, remember those R's, right? The cycles. So we'll go back and review that again, you know, as we look at this. Rebellion, retribution, repentance, and restoration. That's the whole book of Judges. And we see here that the Israelites were being persecuted by the Midianites. So that would have been in that retribution stage, that second R. And as they were being persecuted by the Midianites, they cried out to the Lord, and they asked the Lord to deliver them. And so the Lord, again, as I've said, sent this prophet to let them know that God had taken care of them in the wilderness, but he also pointed out the fact that they had rebelled, and he wanted to make that a point. And so the Lord hears their cries, and in the midst of hearing their cries, he sends the angel of the Lord to come and speak to a man by the name of Gideon. And as Gideon is in dialogue with the angel of the Lord, that they have this great conversation going on, and the angel of the Lord tells Gideon that you are going to deliver the people of Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And Gideon was like, who? Me? You know, are you talking to me? You know, as a matter of fact, some people believe that Gideon was actually hiding out from the Midianites, that he was so afraid of the Midianites that he was hiding from them, and that the angel of the Lord, when he came, that Gideon was shocked and surprised the fact that he came. And so Gideon, which he seems to be in the habit of doing, asked the angel of the Lord for a sign. He said, if I'm supposed to be the one that's going to deliver the Israelites from the hand of the Midianites, then I need a sign. And the angel of the Lord said, I'll show you a sign. And so Gideon goes, and he said, wait right here, I'll be back. Hold on a minute, right? So Gideon goes, and he gets some meat and some bread and some oil. And he kind of puts it together and then lays it. I don't know if he laid it on the ground or an altar, but he got it together. And so he's looking for a sign that the angel of the Lord actually has a message from God for him. And so he puts these things in a pile, and then all of a sudden, the angel of the Lord uses an instrument to touch these things, and fire comes up out of them and consumes them. It burns up the bread, it burns up the meat, it burns up the oil, totally consumes them. And then Gideon realizes, hey, I'm in trouble here because I've seen the Lord. And so Gideon actually thought he was going to die. Look at Judges chapter 6 and verse 22. And when Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And we know from reading back in the law that when people saw the Lord face to face, that they would die. And so Gideon thinks that he's going to die. But the angel of the Lord, or the Lord, assures him in verse 23 that he wasn't going to die. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. So God lets him know that he was not going to die. And Gideon is so grateful because he's seeing turmoil all around him. He's seeing his kinsmen being persecuted by the Midianites. He sees this devastation happening. He realizes that Israel, the first R, that they rebelled, and now they were dealing with the second R, which is retribution. And he sees this retribution taking place. All type of turmoil going on. And so Gideon constructs an altar. And in verse 24, it says, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Yahweh Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezerites. Gideon builds an altar and he calls it Yahweh Shalom. That in the midst of troubling times, he had come face to face with the God of peace. He had come into communication with the God of peace. What does the name Yahweh Shalom mean? The word Shalom, which we know is a word, Hebrew word for peace, but actually it means completeness or wholeness. That's the idea of Shalom, completeness or wholeness. Now watch this, and this will help you understand how powerful Yahweh Shalom is. Look, when somebody is sick, they're broken, they're not whole. When you end up in a bad relationship or a relationship that breaks up, you're not whole. You're not complete. When you are dealing with maybe a financial problem, you are not whole. You are not complete. When you're dealing with some emotional issues, some anger, some anxiety, some bitterness, some unforgiveness, you're not whole. What does Shalom mean? It means wholeness or completeness. So what does Shalom do? In the midst of your brokenness, in the midst of the devastation that's happening in your life, Shalom comes in and gives you a sense of wholeness. Shalom comes in and gives you a sense of peace. That when I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills, that Shalom comes in. And even though I might not have the answer about how I'm going to pay, Shalom comes in and makes me whole. It gives me a completeness. It lets me know that, hey, God got this. That Yahweh Shalom, that he has this. And everything is going to be all right. The idea of Shalom, wholeness or completeness, that when you are broken, I like that song, The Potter's House. Those who are weary, come on down to the Potter's House. Those who are broken, come on down to the Potter's House. If you have needs, if you're in trouble, come on down to the Potter's House. That you are broken, he'll take the pieces of your broken life and he'll make them whole. That's what Yahweh Shalom will do. He will give you that wholeness. He will give you that completeness. And as we think about Yahweh Shalom and continue to look at this definition that God is the one who makes us complete and whole, and that where the Lord is, that where Yahweh Shalom is, there is peace. Now, the world tries to seek this wholeness. The world tries to seek this peace, but they are not going to find it. Let me share with you three ways that the world tries to seek this wholeness or this completeness. That when they get broken, right? That when something happens, what do they try to do? They try to change the circumstances. Some people figure if they got enough money that maybe they can buy their way out of it. Some people feel that if they just try a little harder doing something, that their circumstances might change. So the world tries to change the situation. Other people in the world, they try to run away from the circumstances. They try to medicate. They try to use substances or other things to try to deal with the situation so they can get peace. You know that some people, that's what they do. That they are dealing with situations, and so they go to the bottle, they go to the joint, and I'm not talking about the joint, the building. I'm not talking about the joint between your arm and your lower arm and your upper arm, right? I'm talking about the marijuana, right? And what are they trying to do? They're trying to run away to find peace. They're trying to find peace in those things. And then, you know, some people in the world, they even try to blame other people for their circumstances, trying to find peace, that if I can cast it off on somebody else, then maybe I won't feel as bad. Maybe I might sense some relief. Maybe I might feel some peace if I can blame it on somebody else. But according to the Bible, the world cannot know true peace. That people of the world cannot know true peace. Isaiah 48 and verse 22 and 51 and verse 27. The wicked are not at peace. The wicked are not at peace. And maybe the reason that they do some of the things that they do is because there is a uneasiness in their heart. There's an uneasiness in their spirit. Why is it that some people commit acts of wickedness? It's because they're not at peace. And the Bible says the wicked are not at peace. The unsaved are not at peace. In Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 17, it lets us know that if you don't know the Lord, that you can't have peace. That you can't obtain this wholeness, you can't obtain this completeness that we're talking about because you are unsaved. And then in Romans 8:6, it lets us know that the carnal or worldly minded are not at peace. They're struggling. They feel like always looking over their shoulder, right? Somebody feel like somebody's behind them. Feel like, you know, that there's always something waiting around the corner for them because things are not right in their life. They don't have the wholeness. They don't have the completeness. And so they're always on edge. They always feel uneasy, and they don't have the peace. The only way that you can know this peace that I'm talking about is if you know Yahweh Shalom. And he can fix the broken pieces of your life. He can take the fragments of your broken life and bring them back together again. If you know Yahweh Shalom, the God of peace, that he steps into your life and that by his very presence, he brings peace to the situation. The Lord is like the conductor of a symphony. I heard Tony Evans give this illustration. He said that before the conductor comes in, you got people blowing the horns, tuning up, right? People hitting the drums, tuning up, other instruments tuning up.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is peace. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is peace, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is peace. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Yahweh Shalom, the Lord is peace. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall, reminding you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be.